What a podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, you got a lot. It's Friday.
What's going on?
We're wasted.
This is Terry and Gatch.
This is our first post-Christmas show of the year.
That's right. It's almost our last one of the year, but not yet.
We don't talk about post-metal or post-doom.
Yeah, but we talk about podcasting being evil.
And being not white.
Yeah.
Try that on for size. Thanks for listening.
Not white. I bet you did. Yep. Yep. Hello.
Hi there.
What's going on?
I got a new pony for Christmas.
Oh yeah, you brony?
His name's Lucifer.
Are you a brony?
No, but I heard that the guitar player from Morbid Angel is.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but I heard it on the internet, so it possibly is not true, but Treya Zagthoth finally came out as a brony.
Tough news.
He's a total nerd, though. He was always into nerdy stuff.
Yeah, but My Little Pony, though.
My Little Brony.
Welcome to the show.
It's Friday.
Yep.
Christmas is over.
Christmas is over.
Woo!
And all that stuff.
It's the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
I've already taken the tree down.
Awesome.
I burned it before I took it out.
We saved ours for next year.
Really?
Yeah, it's fake.
You just replant it?
Yeah, it's just, we just take it apart and put it in a box.
That's what I do. I replant my tree in the back, and then I dig it up, and then
I just bring the whole root ball inside.
Yeah.
Get a little dirty, but whatever. Mm-hmm. We're rocking some dead weather in the background here.
Do you have old ornaments that are old? That are like,
like a yearly thing that they bring back?
Yeah, like that, yeah. You made in grade school hanging up on your tree.
No, I don't have any of those. No. My wife handles the ornament area of the decorations, and our tree is mostly pink this year, but I don't care. It's got pink lights.
Hold on. But no, you don't have any like old school shrinky dinks from kindergarten?
No.
The oldest one I got is from like age 5. It's a shrinky dink that I drew a smiley face on there.
Huh.
And it's very much the same art style that I still have today. It's like 3 twiggy strands of hair sticking
yeah,
on the top.
Yeah. So you don't recognize this song, huh?
Oh, I recognize Dead Weather. I recognize Jack White.
Do you recognize the song, though?
No. I didn't really ever listen to Dead Weather more than a couple times.
It was written by Bob Dylan. I got a pony named Lucifer. It's called New Pony.
I don't know. That must have been when he was into that religious phase.
Bob?
Yeah.
When he got saved?
Yeah.
He had an album called Saved.
It was like a good 12 years, wasn't it? It was kind of during, wasn't Johnny Cash saved during the same time?
I think they all were.
It's like cocaine days were over. Fucking disco days, they realized music was dying.
Yep.
And fucking, there's like, fuck it.
They're just like,
praise Jesus.
Fuck it. Jesus will save my career if nothing else.
Yep. All people are going to listen to is that Michael Jackson shit. I'm going to go and make some Christian music.
Uh-oh. Breaking news.
That's what metal did when grunge came out, and then all of a sudden you started seeing an influx of Christian metal.
Yeah.
Because people were like, fuck it, if grunge is going to be on the airwaves, I'm going Christian metal.
I'm going Creed. I'm going to get my Creed on. Get my credo on.
I will give those guys one thing. They do have their arms wide open.
Well, they did. I think they have now closed their arms.
Oh, man. with your arms wide closed.
They've got their eyes wide shut. With the eyes wide shut.
Little Creed. Is Live still playing live?
Maybe fairs. Country fairs, county fairs. I don't know. I haven't heard.
They had a pretty strong following when they were throwing copper.
Yeah, they did, but that was like almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know.
People that like live love live.
Yeah. You don't like live.
You can't like live.
You love them or you hate them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you love them or you just don't give a shit. I don't think anybody really actively hates live.
Yeah.
It's not like Pearl Jam where people like fucking actively hate Pearl Jam.
I used to hate them, but I kind of love them now.
Really?
I don't love them, but I don't hate them. Have you heard any of their new stuff?
You're in the don't give a shit category for a while?
At first, I was in the Pearl Jam hater club.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like them at all.
Now you don't like them. For a few years
between like 95 and 2003, I was kind of forced to give them a chance because my girlfriend at the time really loved Pearl Jam a lot. And they got some good songs. He kind of bothers me with his...
Next thing you know, you're going to be fucking defending him when people start fucking trashing on him.
Well, I do appreciate what they stand for with the Ticketmaster battle and all that stuff.
Certainly, but who wouldn't, though? I mean, come on. Everybody's on that side, aren't they?
Except for Ticketmaster.
Oh, yeah. Except for like eight people in a boardroom.
Yeah, exactly. And all their families and the people that works for them.
But, you know, I mean, has it changed much? Like, did them standing up to that really do much? Because still, forever, I mean, even today, Ticketmaster fucking service fees are outrageous. And now they extra gouge you with the goddamn shipping charges when you buy online and you want to mail to your house because you want a goddamn souvenir of a ticket.
They charge you $2.99 and it's a 32 or a 46 yeah. cent stamp.
They should fucking charge you extra with every fucking extra ticket, too, don't they? And it's like, it's fucking in an envelope.
Yeah, they all come in the same envelope.
Yep.
But we're going to charge you because we can.
Yeah, you know, it is ludicrous, especially if I'm going to a ludicrous show.
It is ludicrous.
But I don't know. I don't think it really absorbed anything, but they did bring a lot for the independent ticket brokers, you know, which I've always kind of said, especially with some shows, they have fucking, they're sold out on the first day, but you can go to eBay and all the tickets are on sale for there for some reason, you know, the bands might as well just sell the tickets outside the door themselves on the day of.
Yeah.
At least then they'd get all the money.
Fuck yeah.
You know, just fucking auction them off outside the door one at a time. And fucking if people are going to just buy them and sell them on eBay, you know, if you're fucking a band, just go out there instead of somebody buying them for 25, which you think is charging too much anyway, you know, for someone to come see your show. And then fucking, you know, somebody buys it for 25 and then fucking selling it for $200 on eBay. And you're like, fuck, I'm only getting like $10 of that. After everything's paid, you know, and it's like the most person just getting is the guy that was supposed to want to come see your show.
I know. That is fucked.
Now I'm all god fucking worked up about it. And the fucking, but let's say you wanted to collect all, I bet you Pearl Jam has more releases than Frank Zappa right now.
Oh, dude, they came out with like 30 of a whole
every
tour.
Show.
Yeah,
every show they just make a disc out of.
And they are a band cited for the fact that they never do the same set twice, ever.
I know, that's because they're going to release it.
Yeah.
That's why you got to collect them all, man. They're doing the same thing Ticketmaster would do. Every song we got to re-release. We're turbocharged. Every album is the same album, but we're going to charge different shipping.
Now they garnered a following like the Grateful Dead where people like, they're always going to do a different set. So we follow them around the country and we go every night.
Yeah, they're going to do a different set every night, so we're going to do a bunch of smack.
We gotta go just in case we might not get to see him play Mother by Pink Floyd, which is what they played at the Rose Garden. Mother, do you think da 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 bum?
There's only room for one.
And they did Interstellar Overdrive. You were pissed about that.
Yeah. There's only room for one jam band, and that's Fish, and I'm not even that big of a Fish fan.
Dude, there's only one Fish in the sea.
But fucking, you know, you're just not going to top those guys for
I don't like Fish.
Improvisational fucking six-hour sets or whatever they fucking do.
They do three-hour sets. I don't know what Fish does, but Pearl Jam's been doing the three-hour deals.
Yeah, 3 hours... You know, if you're a band doing 3 hours, fucking kudos. That's anybody.
Judo.
That's fucking a strain, you know?
That's like a comic doing 2 hours, or Dave Chappelle doing 6 hours. How can a stand-up comic do 2 hours, even? One is too much.
Have you ever done a three-hour musical set, like, nonstop?
Nope.
All out?
Nope. I don't even think I've done an hour. Well, I think we did an hour and a half with Bleach before. Which is like a full powerhouse 17-song Nirvana set. Like,
yeah.
That's a tough feat.
Yep. By the end, just imagine three. You know?
You get a little break here and there when the other guitar player does a solo. When the drummer does a solo, you get a little break. When Eddie does
to go take a piss.
Solo. Take a... Shoot up some heroin.
Drain the lizard.
Well, shoot up some heroin.
Yeah. Inject the lizard, drain the lizard, and then...
I don't understand how people can be affording to follow Pearl Jam around the earth, you know, with times being so tough and the, you know, the recession and all the stuff.
The Obama economy.
The Obama
economy.
That's hard to say. It's getting so bad now that where would you think robbers would rob places? McDonald's? Well, sure. A robber in California...
Give me all your nuggets.
...broke through the drive-thru... In the middle of the night.
Give me all your nuggets.
He didn't order a Big Mac or a number two. Instead, he forced his estimated 165-pound body through the small window and threatened the two employees who were working the overnight shift with a gun. He confronted both the manager and the employee with a gun. He forced them to the rear of the business, and then he ordered them to strip down naked and go inside a freezer.
Ah.
Why would he take their clothes?
Because he wants them to be cold.
Before I read the rest
of
the story...
Well, you're not going to try to... You're going to be more hesitant to escape.
Before I read the story, I tried to think about what he would do. Maybe he would put on the clothes and, like, take some more orders and get some more cash.
Maybe.
It's like, we don't got much money to give you, so if I could just sell, like, 10 more Big Macs... I'll have enough money to get what I needed.
I have a value meal rule, though, that I like to follow, and that is never order the number two.
Yeah, because it makes a bad number two.
Yeah. Well, it just tastes like shit.
It's bad when it comes back out, too.
Yeah.
So when the employees were locked in the freezer, the robber was free to ransack the registers for an undisclosed amount of cash. They feared for their lives, so they decided to stay put until they thought it was safe to come out. It was a string of violent crimes that have plagued the Vallejo area in the past week. So someone's going crazy for Christmas. Yeah. Suspect is 5'10", early 20s, African-American or Hispanic. You don't know? How can you not tell? He fucking held him at gunpoint. Yeah. You didn't tell? Well, I couldn't tell. He could have been Indian, maybe. I don't know.
Could have been. I mean, you know.
Hispanic.
He might as well just said not white. Right?
Exactly. That's so good. Why does no one ever say that?
No, yeah.
So what was he? He was not white.
Doesn't really offend anybody. Right?
Right.
I get it. What do you got against non-white people? I got a non-white friend. Wouldn't people say that then?
Yeah. Dude.
I was the token non-white guy.
I got this video when you watch. It'll make you gay.
This video you watch, it'll make you not white.
Yeah, but what'll I be?
Not white.
You'll just be not white. That's all that you care about, isn't it? You just don't want to be white anymore.
Not white.
You've got not white guilt. That's what I suffer from.
Did you have a good Christmas? What'd you get?
I decided not to accept any gifts from anybody this year.
Right on.
Any gift
people
that I...
People do that.
Oh.
People
no,
always
don't
go,
get me anything.
Don't give me anything.
No,
have you ever not gotten somebody something that said that?
Yeah.
And then you went ahead and just not got them something?
Yeah.
How'd that go for you?
It didn't go good.
No?
No. You get invited to a birthday party and they say, oh, there's no gifts, no gifts.
Yeah.
And then you come with no gift and they're like, You didn't bring a gift?
Yeah, they don't even give you cake.
You said no gifts. It's like, you say no gifts.
I know. That means $75 limit.
Exactly. You think these people are going to come to a party at my house and not bring me a gift?
I wanted a remote control car.
I told you I wanted that. Do you think I was...
I saw the fucking South Park the other day where it was Stan's birthday.
What is that?
I don't know if it was a newer one or not. I don't think it was.
Repeat, yeah.
But it was Stan's birthday, and Cartman got a gift for every gift that Stan got, and it wasn't his birthday. Cartman's mom's there giving
his
him
mom?
Gifts, and he's like, why are you getting a gift? It's Stan's birthday.
Like, I get one every time it's Stan's birthday.
His mom's like, oh, Cartman gets a gift for every gift that you get. He thinks it's a custom. He thinks it's a custom that he gets a gift every time someone else gets one on their birthday.
Oh, my God. Cartman is such a piece of work. I wonder if he's a byproduct of Trey or Matt, one of those guys.
It's got to be. Yeah. It's got to be one of their personalities like that wants to
just
come out.
Just one who would never talk, like like I was talking about Eastbound and Down's Danny McBride. He plays Kenny fucking Powers, and he just has no... care for anybody except himself, and it's how I think a lot, but I'm not stupid enough to say it out loud. Yeah. I'm not stupid enough to think I could get away with acting like that, but you can think that in your head that people should be this way. Dude, what the fuck are they thinking? I'm fucking Terry Guile, goddammit.
Yep. Larry David tries to convince people that everybody thinks that.
That's why I want a show, so I can live vicariously through my own character, which isn't really me. I swear, that's not me. That's just funny things I come up with in my head. Oh, man. So what do you think the top things in 2013? It's the end of the year, you guys. Our next show.
Top 10 things of 2013 would be the top number 10 for me would be 2013 lists.
Okay.
That'd be one of my favorite things. Would be at the end of the year, you know, everybody has a list, and you get to go through those. That would be my number 10 moment of 2013.
Well, I think that the thing that topped most stories in 2013...
Wait a minute.
You won't be surprised.
Miley Cyrus.
Bacon.
Oh, what?
2013 is the year of bacon.
Come on. The year of bacon was like 8 years ago, wasn't it? When everyone all of a sudden loved bacon like way more than any other food ever.
They're saying it topped out 2013.
So now what? People are going to start hating. Is bacon too hip now?
Yeah.
It's like it's going to be too hip to like people are going to like
researchers suggest that now eating bacon tends to lower sperm count.
Oh Jesus. It's never stopped anything.
But before. Bacon may extend your life expectancy. So you'll live longer but you can't come anymore.
I think what it is it's that kind of fat that doesn't harden. You know, it's the grease that you're eating that doesn't like margarine and those kind of things.
2013.
You eat those and then it solidifies in your veins rather than like olive oil where
right.
It remains viscous.
They came out with a bacon scented deodorant this year, which is $9.99 a stick.
Yeah, but 3 years ago I got bacon chapstick and I was over that novelty kind of a thing.
A man in Massachusetts got 4 months in jail for a bacon attack. Texas Motor Speedway introduces a shake with bacon and beer. Robert Downey Jr. celebrated his wife's 40th birthday with a bacon cake.
Why was it all of a sudden? I mean, it wasn't this year, but like 8 years ago, everybody suddenly just loved bacon more than any other food. Remember that? Before that, I mean, people liked bacon, but it wasn't like a cultural phenomenon.
Right. And Kevin Bacon.
Bacon didn't change.
Kevin did. Kevin Bacon's daughter, she was named Miss Kevin Golden Globe in 2013, so that's Bacon in the headlines right there, too. Daughter of Kevin Bacon and Kyra Sedgwick. Did you know that they were a thing?
I know he has a brother.
He's got a 21-year-old
and
daughter.
And he has a chip, Bacon Chips.
Sosie Bacon. Sosie. S-O-S-I.
You know, another interesting fact is I watched Kevin Bacon the other day. He grabbed a grenade that was live out of another guy's hand and then let it explode right in his hand.
Holy shit.
And then took all the energy from the grenade and just, like, wrapped it up into his little hand and then touched somebody and they just fell over.
Wow.
That's the kind of powers Kevin Bacon has.
What movie was that?
It was in...
Hollow Man? Stir of Echoes.
It was in the fucking comic book movie that he was in that I can't remember the universe that it's in, the X-Men universe, whatever that latest one was. That was the last, not the Last Stand, because that's number three, but then number four was the origins of the Wolverine, and then the number five was the next one. And that's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
It's one of the fucking X-Men movies.
I don't like them. Don't watch them. Don't care about them.
You don't like them? They're pretty good.
Well, it's not that I don't like them. It's just I don't watch them because I don't care about them. If I watched it or caught
But fucking where else are you going to get fucking a movie with two gay guys is the fucking
See?
Opposites. Patrick Stewart versus Ian McKellen? Come on! Does it get any better than that? Those guys going head on?
Wait. Ian McKellen's gay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't even know that because I don't see race. Wait, gay's not a race. Hey, Maple.
Those guys, you know, fucking. I don't care about comic books either, but.
Maple bacon coffee movies. Beer is supposedly the best drink ever. But yeah, so I guess 2013.
Why not just dip your bacon in maple syrup and call it a drink?
I think that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. So, add water until it becomes drinkable.
The year in bacon.
All right.
That's this year, I guess, so far.
Anything else?
Not that I know about bacon. That's all I got. Oh, no, not really. That one just came up on my feed here, so I didn't.
All right, I think I got a thing of 2013. Here's one. Nope, that's not it.
God damn it. My computer.
I got a top 10 list of comic books.
Okay. Top 10 comic books of 2013?
No, this is 10 obsessed hoarders and their insane collections.
Okay.
Insane collections. Insane in the collections. Yeep.
I got sent to collections and it fucking drove me insane.
I bet. Hey, what do you collect? What's the weirdest thing you collect?
I don't think I collect anything weird. I collect t-shirts and I collect records.
All right.
And I collect CDs.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it, I think.
Music, memorabilia, and collectibles.
Yeah.
Butters collected a sperm. His wet dreams.
I guess I collected all
because
my...
Because it was his goodness.
Ooh.
Did you see that episode?
Which one?
The one where fucking...
Who's...
His
what?
Goodness was coming out of him.
Whose goodness?
Whenever he had dreams about girls.
What are you...
Butters.
Butters?
Yeah, and then they all ended up fucking drinking it. Everybody was drinking it. And then at the end of the episode, somebody gave a cup of it to Stan, because he would... Oh, it's Sarcastable. That South Park episode, Sarcastable.
Oh, okay.
And then they're all... You get really good at Sarcastable when you fucking drink all this goodness or whatever Butters had. And then somebody gave it to fucking Stan's dad at the end, and he's like, this is cum. And Butters got grounded for him. Making people come, and he's like, what's cum? We'll tell you about it when you're older.
What's cum? Those guys get away with so much fucking shit. I can't believe it sometimes.
How about miniature books? That's a weird one. Miniature books.
No, I have some miniature books that I read to my godson when he's still around.
Well, this guy has 5,200 books. And the largest book he has is about an inch by an inch.
The fucking thing's huge.
Nope, no more than 3 inches high, none of the books.
Hmm.
And 5,200 books. And that is a weird collection. And I don't understand why you could fucking fold a piece of cardboard in half and call it a book, I guess.
Well, sure you could. You just got to make it small.
Yep.
Now, I collect t-shirts, and I probably got about, I'm guessing between 150 and 200. I'm on day 40. I guess today's Friday, so it'd be day 46.
Yeah.
And I have barely scratched the surface. So, yeah, that's about, that's, to, I think to some people, 150 t-shirts is a lot.
Why haven't Beyond one band that I can think of, haven't, trading cards for bands become anything?
I don't know. They tried that in the 70s, and I don't think it really worked out too well.
I know that Kiss had their own set, but Kiss is kind of, they're just merchandising people. So I'd expect them to have that, but it wasn't like, here's a collection of a bunch of different rock and roll bands in one set kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe they did, and I just don't know about them.
I've never heard
maybe
of them.
Maybe the, you know, Michael Jackson, I guess, had some cards.
I'm sure some bands did, but I don't know. You'd have to probably be into said band to seek it out and find it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or
just random bands, like if you bought a pack of 15 random cards, maybe you got a picture of Martin Barr, you know, like playing a solo, and on the back it had some facts about Martin Barr. Broken Strings, like by year. You know, 1994, he broke four strings. And, you know, and then the next picture you get, it'd be like somebody else, Waylon Jennings.
It'd be somebody else.
Waylon Jennings' hat. Wouldn't even be him, it'd just be his hat. And you'd have, like, you know, concert-used towels, like, glued to the card.
Right.
You know, limited edition.
Very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I got... What? Go ahead.
Martin Parr, of the UK, he collects Osama bin Laden stuff. He's been collecting for over 80 years.
80?
Yep, but he got his first item. It took him 76 years to get.
What the fuck?
It's been a long time looking.
It's been a long time looking.
Bob Gibbons, also of the UK, they like to collect stuff. He has spent over $100,000 acquiring his collection of 240 love dolls.
Ooh.
He really went out, the previous record holder before his 240 was 100. I guess he'd
That's easy to beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
His wife says that she enjoys shopping for clothes for the dolls, and it has actually brought her closer to her husband. He likes to comb their hair and bathe them.
See, I bet she likes to fucking dress them so, because if they're naked, she's going to fucking... Mm-hmm. He'll be fucking her. Mm-hmm.
Charlotte Lee from Seattle has over 5,000 rubber butt ducks.
Rubber butt ducks?
Rubber butt ducks.
What the
fuck?
They're
real ducks with rubber butts.
What's a rubber butt duck?
Phil Robertson.
A rubber butt ducky.
I don't even know his real name.
Phil Robertson. You had it right there for a second.
This guy, just because of his age, I'm going to say he's weird. This guy's 39 years old, and he has 10 knuckles, and... they spell out Miley Cyrus on his knuckles.
Oh, I saw that guy.
Yep.
Dude, his wife is kind of thinking that he's weirded out.
I would think so. He's 39.
That picture that he has of her with her tongue hanging out on his torso doesn't really look very good. It's not a very good...
She doesn't look very good when she's
got
her tongue hanging out.
I'm just saying that it's not a very good likeness of a... Not of a... Not very, of already not very good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that guy's crazy.
Jian Yang. Or maybe it's Jian Yang.
Jian Yang?
He's been collecting Barbies since he was 13 and now has more than 6,000.
Wow.
Yep. One guy wants to save up 1 million pins. Like ballpoint pens.
Wow. I can never find a fucking pen when I want one.
No, this guy doesn't have that problem because he's got 70,000 of them. He's only got 930,000 to go. He took... he recently had a donation drive and got 30,000 of them. I wonder how many of them work.
I bet they all work.
He took 10,000 of them and glued them to the exterior of his 1981 Mercedes.
Well, that probably dropped the value pretty soon. Jesus Christ.
Becky Marks. She visits 25 different supermarkets every week in search of banana stickers.
Chiquita.
25 a week.
Huh.
How many different ones are they fucking putting out? That you need to go 25 a week.
I thought there was only like three.
I don't know. She has over 8,000.
Yeah, but they are just Chiquita and Dole, right?
I don't know. But you're buying 25 fucking different bananas every week. You're like ripping off the one that has the label on it.
Yeah.
Why don't you just fucking take the label off? Come on. No one's going to give a shit.
No.
If you're like collecting them and you go to the store and go, yeah, I have 8,000 banana stickers. And if you just, can I just come in every week and get one? Maybe you could save them up every month. And
yeah, they're not going to
do that. I'll just come and get one.
You got to buy the banana and eat the banana.
Yeah, she makes a lot of banana bread, she said.
It's part of the deal.
And, yeah, she says sometimes she buys the bananas, takes off the labels, and hands the bananas right back to the clerk.
Oh, give them back to the poor.
Her favorite find is her oldest one, a 1960s brand from Sweden. I don't know if she found that like last year. Like, she just went into a supermarket and there happened to be a 1960s sticker on a banana. Does that happen?
I don't think so. There's no way that happens.
I mean, this guy, doesn't. I don't know if he sounds like he's that cool. But 7,100 game balls he's collected baseball.
Damn, that's a lot.
It is, but I mean, you got to imagine that you can't get 7,100 game balls without pushing a lot of kids out of ways.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and I would imagine he wrote a book, How to Snag Major League Baseballs, and which had over 100 tips. To get there, and I think many of them...
One of them was shoving small children out of the way.
Yeah, or like giving sad stories to handicapped people to get their ball from them or something, you know?
I ain't gonna fall for that shit.
Yep, I know.
Fuck that.
And this guy, Dieter Kapp.
Dieter?
Dieter Kapps. You remember that guy?
No, I do not remember Dieter.
He's collected over 1,760 spoons from airlines.
Oh. Well, did you ever watch Snakes on a Plane?
No, you're getting these goddamn spoons off these motherfucking planes.
Dude, I watched that because it was on the International Fart Channel. Uh-huh. And it was actually kind of entertaining. It was silly and funny. Well, it tried to be serious. Kenan Thompson never cracked a smile. He was a serious role.
Mm-hmm.
And same with old Koechner. He played the pilot. This is funny. It was funny. It wasn't a comedy, but it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing's going to go down faster than a Thai hooker. So he kind of talked like Packer a little bit sometimes.
He is Packer.
He is Todd Packer.
He
is Packer.
Yeah, he was on with those other guys on Jon Stewart when they came on his show as a guest. It's always weird when you got a show that's such a short format that they bring on a guest and he's only there for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes their little intro gag leaves nothing for the interview.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Like he's got four guys on and Steve Carell, they're doing a bit about like he used to work here and all this stuff and... You know how he got special privileges. They all brought like a piece of furniture from the fucking guest room or the green room.
Right.
So it looked like they were all bringing out these like one, two or three had like the framed posters and one had like this crystal globe that looked all nice. It was like, looked like they were bringing out presents and right. everyone was applauding. And then he's like, thanks for bringing all this stuff out of the green room. And then they all ran around and gave it to the audiences. And he did some slapstick thing with them. And, you know, he didn't even really interview them.
Hmm.
I just did a little
fucking bastards.
Slapstick comedy.
Hmm. Right on. Well, I got a list here if you're done with yours.
All right. Yeah, I am.
This is like the
top. I got a listography list of list.
Top 10 movies of 2013. Oh. And right. we talked
I'm
about this
name
one.
All of them right now.
All right. One of them we talked about, and we both want to see it because it's made by filmmakers that we want to watch.
1 through 10. Oh, what?
I'm going to stop. I should start at number 10.
Okay. No.
I'll go
okay.
back.
What do we got?
I was going to start with one.
All right. Give me a part of the synopsis and I'll guess it.
I've never heard of this movie, so I doubt you'll guess
it.
But
guess
this
it.
Is a documentary about Brooklyn-dwelling Japanese artist Yushio Shonara and his wife Noriko intimately portrays the sacrifices and struggles and joys of marriage.
I know this movie. It's called Japart.
No, it's called... This is a weird name for a movie.
Uh-huh.
Cutie and the Boxer.
Oh, Cutie and the Boxer.
How could that be number 10?
I thought that was a duo down in San Francisco.
Number 9, 12 Years a Slave. Steve McQueen's
12 years
depiction
a slave.
Of a freeman.
Steve McQueen.
Solomon Northrop's 12 Years
like
in Bondage.
It's like his first movie since Bullet, right?
The most brutal and uncompromising movie ever made about slavery.
Mm-hmm. You know, a little fun fact about that is that one guy's in there, Omar.
He's in 12 Years a Slave?
Mm-hmm. Omar.
Awesome. Scarface.
Yeah. There's a couple other big name actors in there, too, I think. But, I thought he died a long time ago, Steve McQueen.
Yeah, me too. I thought he got died at
but
from
it turns
a bullet.
Out he's a different guy totally.
Yeah. You'll be pleased with the number one if we can ever get to it. Number 8 was Fruitvale Station. It's a portrait of a last day in life of Oscar Grant, who was shot by transit police in Oakland, California, 2009.
A little too real for me.
Yep, okay. Number 7, Francis Ha.
Ha!
This is an expressive black and white love affair to... Wait, I can't see what it says.
Sounds like it'd be a silent film, then.
From New York. Greta Gerwig. Blah, 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 person. This is a bunch of bullshit.
Usually if something's from New York, it chaps my hide.
Okay, see if you can guess the name of this film. It's number 6 on the list. This powerfully contained Israeli drama is set among the ultra-Orthodox community, unfolding almost entirely within a small Tel Aviv apartment. But all like all great movies, the experiences it evokes are universal.
Elysium.
It's called Fill the Void.
Ah.
Okay, I don't even know this next one either. Number 5 was called Short Term 12. Number 4, Gravity. We've heard about that. What do you think about Gravity? You haven't seen it yet?
No, I think it would have been cool to see it on the big 3D stage screen.
People were raving about
IMAX.
Sandra Bullock's body. Like, she's just got such a tight little good body,
I imagine, you know, she fucking has time and fucking money to work out and have a personal trainer come over to her house to wake her up and say, you're going to fucking work out for 3 hours.
That's right. That
you
was
know?
Number 4.
So, but I don't know. I don't know if it would hold the same magic at home as it would on an IMAX screen.
That's true.
It's all about the feeling the space and the senselessness of your surroundings, I think.
Yeah.
So sit close to your television for that one, folks.
That's right. Number 3 is a Spike Jones film.
It's, joint?
No.
Is that his thing?
That's a Spike Lee joint.
Oh.
Spike Jones.
Oh, sometimes I get those guys confused because how many spikes do you know?
2.
I get those confused with the dog from Tweety and Sylvester.
Yeah. So number 3 is called Her. It's a film about a man's romance with an advanced computer operating system from the future. It features the best performance of the year, courtesy of Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin. Oh,
I have seen the part 2 of that Ben-Hur.
Oh, yeah. How you been? Her. Yeah. That's
Joaquin
number 3.
Phoenix. I might have seen some... wait a minute.
Spike Jones, you know, he's worked with Tenacious D.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Spike Jones.
Okay.
But Joaquin Phoenix.
He's white.
Yeah, it was.
There's a white Spike and a black Spike.
I thought I saw him playing like he was online dating movie.
Hmm. Maybe. Okay, moving along here to number two, The Act of Killing. A documentarian, Joshua Oppenheimer, interviews some of the main perpetrators of the Indonesian genocide of 1960 under the guise of helping them turn their story into a movie. Never heard of it. Okay, this is what I wanted from the very beginning, but I decided to go 10 to 1 instead of 1 to 10. We got to go see this movie, or at least download it illegally. It's called Inside Llewellyn Davis. Remember, we talked about it.
Doug Llewellyn.
No.
Famed.
Davis Llewellyn. Court reporter Doug Llewellyn.
Yeah.
Back to you, Doug. I'm Doug Llewellyn. No, this is the best movie of the year. It's also one of the best movies ever made about the perils of maintaining your integrity in a world that demands compromise and sacrifice. You know, it's the Coen brothers, you know?
Yeah, that sounded, to me, And that was the same thing that There Will Be Blood was about.
This is a story of a folk singer, though, struggling to resist the forces of commercialism in the dark recesses of his own sad spirit in a cold, gray Greenwich Village circa 1961, and it's simultaneously filled with the Coen brothers' characteristically dark comic touches and deep empathy for the title character's wounded soul.
I have low expectations, though.
Oh, that was a long sentence.
Which means I'll like it.
Yeah, of course you'll like it, but it'll be not as good as you thought.
It'll be better than I expected, because I have low expectations. Because, you know, I mean, I like True Grit, but it wasn't, like, masterful to me in any way, you know? And before that, what they have, you know, but it was great. Coen Brothers flick, you know, I thought it was a great, it was a good movie.
Right on.
You know, but I didn't.
Me too.
I didn't enjoyed like, it. It didn't have me clamoring about it. Like Fargo, you know.
Yeah.
And then, or many other of their other movies. But, the one before that, Simple Man.
Mm-hmm.
But just mostly because it was over my head because I'm not Jewish.
I think
a lot of the jokes in there probably I didn't even catch, that, you know.
I recently watched a movie with the other guy from Fargo, not Buscemi, but the other guy that was his partner. But I can't remember what the movie was. I enjoyed it.
The Volvo or the Volkswagen guy?
I guess, yeah.
He did commercials for him for a while.
Yeah, that German-looking guy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got a quick list of the five worst films, and it was another copy of another list we talked about earlier, a movie... Movie 43 is obviously a really bad movie because it's making all the worst lists. The Big
What's
Wedding.
What's it about?
I don't know.
Movie 43.
And then there's The Big Wedding, 21 and Over, August, Osage County. And number five is John Dies at the End, which is a total spoiler alert in the title. John Dies at the End.
No one wants to watch that movie.
Runners
dies
up.
At the End.
Runners up for the best movies like The Great Gatsby, Captain Phillips.
Yeah, if you put Titanic on a list, you'll put The Great Gatsby on
the
list.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
You know, I'll go anytime. I'll go. Where the Millers was a funny comedy. I'm just putting that out there.
That was. I thought it was funny. Funnier than RV with Robin Williams and the chick from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
When was the last time Marvin Williams... when was the last time Marvin Williams did something funny?
Robin Williams?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Marvin Williams.
RV was kind of funny.
Yeah, okay.
Not really. I don't know. What do you think?
Mork and Mindy.
Oh, wait. What? That was the last time he did anything funny?
I don't know.
That was a long time ago.
It might be before Patch Adams. Patch Adams funny?
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm just not that big a fan of it.
Maybe not. No. What the fuck's going on right
here's
now?
A complete list of 2015 movies.
Those aren't out yet.
How is that even possible? I don't know. And did you see... I'll just go through some movies that came out this year. We'll go through like a time list.
Okay.
Did you see the Texas Chainsaw 3D?
No, I didn't.
Were you interested in seeing that?
I thought I was, but I guess I didn't care.
What about A Haunted House, that parody movie? That has David Koechner in it, doesn't it?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think I heard about these movies you're mentioning.
That was A Haunted House. It was like one of the Wayans brothers fucking parody things.
Oh.
But apparently it's a new franchise because, I don't know, because Scary Movie had five.
And it was one of the worst movies of the year, too?
Yep.
Okay, well, I didn't hear of either of those movies.
Yep, The Last Stand, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll be back.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nothing really came out this year, did it? There was The Haunting in Connecticut, too. Did you watch that?
No, I saw the first one, though.
All right. Then people didn't realize, hey, let's get out of here, otherwise part two is going to happen.
Or maybe another family moved into the house or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sylvester was in a movie that many people thought would be their fantasy realized, Bullet to the Head.
Stallone? Yeah. Oh, man, I missed out on that one somehow.
Sound City came out this year.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen it, dude. I got to make a point of seeing that before the end of the year. How can I make that happen? How can I make that happen? Before the end of the year. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to Walmart or something and buy it for cheap. All
right. Because
they always got it cheap there at Walmart. They got everything cheap at Walmart.
Yeah. Identity Thief. Remember Jason Bateman and... who else was that?
I don't think I saw.
Girl from McCarthy.
Seems like every movie he's been in lately has Jennifer Aniston in it.
That was that chick that fell down the stairs and she was hosting Saturday Night Live, but like on purpose, like she was being all funny.
Hmm.
From last season. Top Gun was re-released. What do you think about that?
Stupid.
Charlie Sheen was in Banana.
Banana?
I don't know.
What the fuck?
That's all it says. Fucking a picture of a banana.
Charlie Sheen
on
was in Banana.
February 8th.
Why can't I hear this?
Hmm.
I was trying to do it. That fucking sounds weird, dude. What's going on?
I can hear it.
Oh, you can hear it, but it's not correct.
Dark Skies. Did you watch that one?
No.
Dark Skies.
I don't know what that is. But it's somebody's birthday today. Former drummer from Frank Zappa and probably back in Missing Persons now because I heard that they just played up at the Tonic Lounge not too long ago. Missing Persons just played where Victims is going to play.
Really?
Terry Bozzio.
You know, that's kind of the same name.
Drum solo. What, Missing Persons and Victims of Internal Decay?
No, well, the Victims part.
Oh. Victims are Missing Persons. So, yeah.
Well, no, Victims are Missing Persons are Victims.
How old do you think Terry Bozzio is today?
63.
Dude, he is. How'd you know?
Fuck,
that's weird. You're so smart sometimes. That's the only birthday I know of, and I worked so hard just to get that song to work on my phone, and it fucking sounded like shit.
Well, it's plugged in over here. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
No, I unplugged it.
Oh.
I unplugged you. Maybe that's got something to do with it. Maybe I shouldn't be such
maybe
a dick.
Maybe it needs to be plugged into something or it's being all funky.
You funky monkey. Glass monkey, chunky, that funky monkey. You ever do the brass monkey? Do you know what a brass monkey is?
It's orange juice and cod liver oil, isn't it?
Ooh, that's close, but I think it's orange juice and malt liquor, not cod liver.
That's worse.
Old English and orange juice, that's what it usually is. But
why don't they call it OEOJ?
That's what brass monkey. That's how you say brass monkey in Japan. OEOJ.
Do you like France?
I love France.
All right. Do you like Franks?
Franks.
What about James Franco?
I like Frank Zappa.
He had that movie Spring Breakers.
Okay. What about it?
I don't know. It's this movie that came out this year. Burt Wonderstone.
Oh, you're still looking at movies that came out this year.
Burt Wonderstone. What do you think about that one?
It was okay. It wasn't the greatest movie.
Jim Carrey in there.
I thought it was pretty funny how he ripped on that guy that he was making fun of, basically making fun of Mind Freak.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I think all the movies that came out this year were horrible.
Every one of them?
Yep. Pretty much. There's no memorable movies this year. Evil Dead. Was that a good one?
Yeah, I saw that in the theaters. Actually, I enjoyed it.
You sure about that?
Am I sure that I enjoyed it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am. I saw it in the theaters and I watched it at home too. What are you giving
but
me?
But if
why are you giving me such a
hard time? If you could not you have that movie. If you could give up that movie to not have every other movie that came out this year, would you do it?
Not every other movie that came out this year? No.
If you could just wipe out all those bad movies.
No.
You don't think Evil Dead should take one for the team?
Well, I would rather wipe out Evil Dead than all the other movies.
Oblivion?
I don't think I saw a lot of movies from this year. I saw The Purge and I kind of liked it.
All right, I haven't seen it.
I gave it to you to watch. People said it was going to be shitty and I didn't want to...
People say that about movies they don't like.
I know. That's weird how they do that.
Yep.
But it was good. It was a little bit drawn out and slow for the between 60 minutes and 135 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But whatever. It was a good premise. It wasn't horrible acting, but it wasn't the greatest, but whatever.
Was it better than Bad Milo?
Dude, Bad Milo is a whole different story.
Is it good?
Well, it's enjoyable if you like that. It's campy, dude. It's got
of
a little...
Of course.
It's got a
what
little
you
creature.
From something that fucking...
It's got a little creature in it that comes out of his butthole. No spoilers, but...
What would you expect from a movie that has... What's-his-face in there?
Who's in it?
That one guy.
I know who. There's lots of people in it.
The main guy.
Oh, the guy that kind of looks like he should be fucking Justin Bateman? Or whatever his name is.
Justin Bateman? Wait. Is that a guy?
I don't know.
I don't know if that person exists.
Justine Bateman. No. Jason Bateman, sorry.
Ken Marino.
Oh, yeah. He kind of reminded me of Jason Bateman in that movie.
Yeah. He's always a funny character whenever you see him in a film, though.
Yeah.
He's always saying something that's so fucking bizarre.
Yeah. And this is weird.
Something that comes out of his ass.
And then it has, like, the guy that's getting kind of popular that has, he's like an Indian guy. Kamal, or whatever his name, you know that guy, Kamal something? He's a comedian that's getting kind of popular now. He had a Comedy Central special. And anyway,
kind
he...
Kind of chunky?
No.
All right,
skinny.
An older guy?
No.
All right. It's not Julio Iglesias, is
no,
it?
No, no, no.
Or whatever his name is. Hot and fluffy?
No, fucking, no.
What the fuck,
Gabriel
man?
Iglesias.
Dude, that guy's going to fucking hang himself in 10 years when he's still having to ride that ridiculous fluffy joke.
I think he's losing weight, so he's going to be less fluffy.
Dude, that joke is horrible, dude. Is that not like a joke from like the 13th century?
I guess.
Like, I'm just fluffy. Like, you can't tell me that he fucking came up with that joke.
Yeah, sure he did. He wrote that
people
shit.
Just fluffy. I saw that on a greeting card fucking
shit,
40 years ago.
Steve Harvey said that in 1989.
Hallmark card.
Flat people just fluffy.
I think that one old, the greeting card lady, the old crabby lady that was on greeting cards forever,
uh-huh.
I think she said that. You happy 60th birthday, you're not fat, you're just fluffy.
Oh, but you know who was else in Bad Milo was Steven Root, dude, and it was awesome because he was like off the grid. He played that Ken guy's dad, and he's a total hippie living out in the fucking off the grid, and it turned out that it was an inherent thing, you know.
Yeah.
He had the thing up his ass.
If Ken Marino's in it, you know it's got like a cast of those stars that you'll be like, oh, that's cool.
Mary Kay Place, she was in it.
Yep. Kind of like a movie for misfit comedians.
Yeah. For sure. All right, we better get to this before I get. This is the first time we've used this song for this segment of the show. And now it's not playing because... Oh, there we go. Was that it?
CD player.
Nope, that wasn't it. Anyway, what's in Hans's CD player today? This is a weird song for what's in Hans's CD player. What's in Hans's CD player?
A disc and a peanut butter sandwich.
See if you can guess. It's a band of brothers.
Uh-huh.
And the album's called Hitting the Note.
Mmm.
Who do you think it is?
Hitting the brown note.
It's not the brown.
Hitting the note, Miles Davis.
I said it was a brothers band, not black people. Like actual siblings.
The Bacon Brothers.
Yeah, the Allman Brothers band.
Oh, nice.
Let's hear it for the Allman Brothers.
Was it pre or post Dickie?
I don't know, but they were hitting the note.
Or was he? He didn't die, did he?
Dickie Betts? No, you can bet he didn't.
He didn't bet Snow Farm.
And Han says, enjoy the hella days and have a good crapmas.
Head on, you too, man. Well, it's all over, but...
I've been listening to some Caius, Queens of the Stone Age split. As you can hear in the background, this song's called Spiders and Vinegaroons.
Vinegaroons.
Have you ever seen a vinegaroon? Dude, those things make spiders look like fucking vinegar.
I bet.
Do you know what a vinegaroon is?
No. Is it a spider?
It's like a spider, but it's way bigger. They're from the desert, like Caius.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have generator parties. Excuse me.
No.
What are you looking for over there?
Oh, yeah, really.
Hey, Hans. Hans.
Well, honey,
Hans.
You check out that. I sent you a little YouTube clip of Ken Marino from the State.
Lick my dude.
That had Tom Lennon on it as well. He was playing Jesus.
I'm not listening to you right now. You can lick my dude.
You know that you can and will lick my big fat dude. Come on. You know that you
can. That's for you, Hans. Sorry.
Lick my dude. Yeah.
Yeah. You know that you
can and will lick my big fat dude.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Hans, and thank you, everybody, for listening today.
All right. My phone has something to say.
Okay. What do you got? Are you plugged in? Oh, I unplugged you because we're having technical difficulties. Oh. So hang on here a second. You know that I can and will let my big fat do. Your phone has something to say. Is it fucking Def Leppard? I got something to say. Let me guess. It's better to burn out than to fade away. No. Is that you?
No.
Okay. What do you got? You got a buzz. Are you plugged in? You want to dip your balls in what? That was good, dude.
Whatever it is.
That kind of
scared
me.
That was from a scene that he did with, what's his face? Tom Lennon was playing Jesus.
Oh. Huh.
And then he was getting there. He was at the Last Supper, right? And everybody was around.
Right.
And then somebody said, we invited that one guy, I can't remember his name or what it was, and Jesus gets all kind of solemn. He's like, really? Who invited that guy? You mean that guy? Sure, he's great and everything, but all he ever says is, I want to dip my balls in it.
That guy? Oh, man, not that guy.
Yep, and then everybody took off to his place and left Jesus' Last Supper, telling him we should have it next week.
You can always move it to next week.
Yeah.
No big deal, really.
It's just the Last Supper.
And if it's going to be the last one, you might as well postpone it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that big of a deal.
The State, though, they had a lot of good comedians come out of there.
Yeah, they did.
That one guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine's on there.
Yeah.
Joe Ririglio.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Joe Ririglio?
Something like that.
No way.
It is. All right, I'm going to look it up. And
how do you spell that on the last name?
The State.
No, the...
Ririglio?
Yeah, that one.
R-R...
Iglio. Ririglio.
I-G... Hello.
What was his first name?
Iglo.
Striglio.
Striglio.
Fucking whatever. Obviously, I've never heard of him before.
Joe Riglio?
Riglio. Maybe I have. Maybe I'm just... Maybe.
How come I looked up the State Show and then fucking Duck Dynasty news comes up?
Because they're all about the state, bro.
Ah.
That's it. I'm not watching Doug Dynasty ever again.
I don't think I didn't watch it very much in the first place anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me. But whatever.
I don't know.
I won't change the channel.
Mindless TV, really.
I won't change the channel if I see it on and I get a giggle. If I giggle a little bit. Laughter's cool. I like to laugh.
It's background noise. It's not like something you sit down to fucking... Oh, it's on. I better watch it.
Guys, be quiet. I'm going to bite you. I missed the spot. I got to rewind it real quick.
Yeah, now I gotta watch it because I didn't hear what Cy said while he was fucking driving around in his fucking massage chair.
I'm gonna take a nap. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to take a nap up in there. Alright.
Alright.
Okay, how many of these actors or actresses or actor Rosses have Joe Lotriglio?
I don't know, dude.
Dude, he was in that one movie you saw.
Which one?
He was right there, dude. You don't tell me you haven't seen that guy ever in a movie.
Nah, I've seen him in something.
All right, there you go. He's from Queens, New York. He's been around since 91.
He's been around?
He was in Superbad. He was in Paul. He was in Role Models. And now he's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was on Reno 911.
Wow, he likes to be in movies with numbers in them.
He does. He was in the number 6 show.
Was he in movie 43? Just kidding.
Michael Showalter was on that show.
Fuck Michael Showalter.
And that guy, he was on something, I tell you what.
Michael Showalter is an asshole, dude. Have you ever met that guy?
No.
He was such a dick to me when I met him. He acted like he was better than me or something. Like,
probably did.
Oh, I got something to Showalter. No.
Michael Ian Black was on that show.
He's kind of funny. In a dry kind of way. A little bit dry. Hey, you know, I'm just realizing right now that we got one more show before the end of the year, and that will be Monday's show. We're going to have a fucking New Year's Eve party here on the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. We're going to channel the spirits and efforts of Neil Hamburger and their New Year's Eve podcast. Somehow, we're going to have...
Does he do a podcast once a year?
No, he does it every week, but it's New Year's every night, every week.
No.
No, he doesn't do it every week. I think he might have 10 or something, and then he kind of trailed off or whatever, but...
It would be fun to do a New Year's only podcast.
Just one a year?
Yeah, just do one a year.
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm not like...
That's a grueling schedule, dude.
I have a separate one to where you'd have a... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Just like one, but...
And then you'd have a different podcast that was just like, you only did shows on the 4th of July.
Yeah. That's the weird thing about the Neil Hamburger one. He just doesn't ever say what year it is, and he just every podcast it's New Year's Eve, and there's a band playing downstairs, and we're gonna go to showroom number 17 now to check in with this band, and they're gonna play a little song for us, and it's just weird. It's like going into a weird time space continuum, and you don't know really what's going on at the time. It really freaks me out.
Somebody should do a podcast like they're like from the point of view of Jesus, like they're Jesus doing a podcast.
Thank you. I'll do that. I'm going to do that.
You think
in my spare time? What do you think it would go over if a guy just came on and said, "Hello, children, welcome to my podcast. This is Jesus Christ.
I'm Jesus Christ.
Today we'll be talking about some of the things my dad tried to talk me into doing while I lived on this miserable earth."
His dad could come into the room.
"Father."
And he'd, "Dad, get out, I'm podcasting."
"My son, I have told you that podcasting is evil.
Anyone who podcasts on the Sabbath, which could be any day depending on which religion you choose, my son, could definitely send you into the eternal pits of hell, where a compassionate God such as myself would obviously send any of my loved ones if they just did one thing wrong. If you didn't know it was a sin. Dad, get out of my room. I'm podcasting. Yep. This has been Jesus Christ.
You go to hell.
What do you call it, the Jesus Christ podcast?
Jesus Christ podcast.
Who in the fuck do you think your ass is?
I don't know.
Hey, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
I think I saw that play one time.
We would? We did? You did?
I think I did, yeah.
I saw it on TV. I didn't see it as a play. I saw the musical.
You saw a play.
The musical. But it was a musical movie. Who was in it? Jesus?
Oh, it was probably some high school production.
Antichrist. Superstar.
There was always fucking Centennial High School up north. They fucking always had a musical because they were the musical schools. Like all the Portland musical fucking drama people went to Centennial. So they always had like this super group of fucking actors there. The rest of us were dealing with just fucking regular schools. They didn't fucking specialize.
They got swim teams and golf clubs and fucking clubs, golf clubs. I didn't mean golf clubs. I meant like clubs of people. People who club.
Yeah, a school that has like, you can only go here if you're really good at golf.
Yeah, or swimming. All right, well, hey, you guys.
Barley.
Don't forget about our sponsors, Pizza Now. They slowed us down today. It got me kind of sluggish during the episode.
I'll tell you what, Pizza Now, that's what. You go there, you get a slice of pizza, you buy a slice of pizza, pepperoni.
You
buy one slice of pepperoni pizza for $5, you get 7 slices free.
That's a damn good deal. There are some places you go to a store and it's like $3.50 for a piece of pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's say, we'll put it this way. You go into Pizza Now and you buy 2 slices of pizza for $2.50 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
You get 6 slices for free.
Yeah, why not?
Because. Check them out there at 1705 Southeast Hill Street in Albany, Oregon. They're ready when you are. They open at 10:30 in the morning.
A place in the mall, they'll charge like $5 a slice, man. Fucking been sitting under that goddamn heat vent for 16
And not
minutes.
Only is it dripping wet with grease, but it's still hard and crunchy at the same time.
I know.
Gross.
Fucking,
how does that even happen?
Makes you wish you would have went to that fucking
Pizza Now.
The fucking Asian place next door that just fucking scoops 6-hour-old fucking rice on a plate with fucking...
No, they're not cats. That's chicken.
Yeah. It's fucking chicken and some sauce.
It's chicken.
It's fucking half sweet and sour and half fucking lemon because it spilled over. Fucking they can't even keep the sauces straight.
Welcome to Cat in the Box, where we sell chicken.
Anchovy sauce.
Cat in the Box, where we make eating pussy good again. Also, go to our website, tagcastpodcast.com. Whoa, that scared the shit out of me. Click on the Amazon link and go buy some stuff for your families and yourself. We'll get a couple pennies and then click on the donate. If you have anything left in your PayPal after you buy those gifts, you can just give it to us.
Go like the page of John Dunsworth. Is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
Wow.
Order a copy
what
of the Dick Shit.
That is
Dick Shitnary. With all of his shitisms, including shit hawks, slippery old shit ropes. Shit NATOs, shit canes.
Did you know the guy, speaking of Christmas,
shitabus.
Ralphie was Matthew Marvin. Did you know that?
Ralphie?
Mm-hmm, from the Christmas Story.
No, you texted me and asked me if I'd ever watched that, and I don't believe it. Or no, you didn't. You posted it on Facebook. How many times have you watched it? I had to say 0, so I didn't answer because I felt weird.
What?
I don't think I've ever watched
it. What? You never, what?
Is that Jimmy
you
Stewart?
You and that and The Princess Bride.
Is that Jimmy Stewart?
Those two movies you should
Or is that It's
once,
a Wonderful Life?
Christmas
Story?
Christmas Story's
is it Jimmy Stewart?
80s.
What?
Yeah, Christmas Story's 83.
Is it Jimmy Stewart?
It's 83.
Is it
no,
Jimmy
Stewart? It's not black and white.
Who is it?
That's an American or Wonderful fucking Life.
Miracle on 34th Street. What's that?
What is that? I don't know. These old Christmas movies.
Okay, 83.
What's a Christmas story? I was 15.
Dude, you're gonna get letters now.
Letters, we get letters, we get bags and bags of letters.
Dude,
letters.
Christmas Story is the movie they show on like three channels, 24 hours a day, up until Christmas. You go home, it'll be on some channel.
So who,
yeah,
who's in it?
Nobody of any importance.
See, then why do you know it, and how? Why would I have watched
it? Because they show it for 48 hours every fucking Christmas on a channel, dude.
I don't.
I'm serious. AMC tonight. You go home. It'll be on AMC. I guarantee
okay.
it.
I'll go check it out. But Christmas is over. Why would it still be on?
It'll be on. My Christmas Story.
It's 375 days till Christmas.
It
so
is. Get ready.
Shopping days.
Get ready.
All right. Well.
Okay.
A medal, and we'll see you next time. Hope you guys have a good year.
Plugs.
Hello, Taggets. Welcome to the plugs. New background music and everything. We're going to start today with a comedy, Segregation in the Plugs. Don't forget, every first or every second Friday of the month at Cornucopia in Eugene with Mike McGowan, it's Pantsless Comedy. He usually brings a couple top-notch comics down from Portland. A couple local comics to open the show. And also, every last Saturday of the month at the Granary, it's Seth Milstein's Comedy is Advertised, who also brings down some top-notch comics from Portland and around the state. So check those shows out. Got open mics going on as well at the Capital City Theater in Portland. No, wait, that's in Salem, excuse me. And that's every Tuesday. Then every Wednesday, you got open mic at Tiny's Tavern in Eugene, 3rd and Blair. And then there's an open mic every Thursday at the Green Room, which is right next to Doc's Pad, 7th and Willamette in Eugene. We got the Bleepin' Funny Show coming up this Saturday, December 28th. It's going to be a great show. We bleep ourselves, the comics, that is, so you don't have to. Featuring such great comics as Cress Bates, Leanne Jashaway, Sarah Lowe, Sarah White, Ashley Hope, and myself. I think Max Brockman might be making an appearance as well, so that should be a fun time. Bleepin' Funny at Sam Bond's Garage, 407 Blair Boulevard in Eugene. It's a 5 o'clock show, and it's free. And I think you can bring the kids, because the kids can get into that bar before 7. So 5 to 7 is that show. Then we got the same... Wait, what night is this? Same night, if you're in Portland, go see Vermont and Rat Priest and the Thorns at O'Malley's Saloon in Portland. That should be a great hardcore show for you all to check out. I'm also coming soon to Portland at the Hawthorne Theater. It's DRI with World of Lies. Let's see what else we got. Oh, I forgot about this. Another comedy show, so I've already abolished the segregation, which is fine with me, because I'm not down with that. January 3rd at the Denny's Lounge in Albany. It's the Grand Slam Comedy Show. Number 2, bringing Noriko Ott and Tim Hammer down from Portland. Jesse Priest from Salem. I'll be doing a set. Gatch will be hosting the show. And that's a free show with a suggested donation of $5 if you feel so inclined. Saturday, January 4th, it's Poison Idea and Dead Moon at the Crystal Ballroom. Should be a great show. Check that one out. February 7th, it's Victims of Internal Decay with World of Lies, Spawn, Truculence, and War Crank. That's at the Tonic Lounge, 3100 Sandy Boulevard in Portland. It'll be the first time Victims of Internal Decay have played in Portland for 18 years, so you should check that out. No advance ticket sales. You just pay like $5 at the door to get yourself in that way. Let's see what else is going on. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and I don't really have a lot of information for you other than the fact that like Soulfly is coming, Loudness is coming, I think Godflesh is coming back as well. A bunch of bands are coming. It's going to be messy. But you should go out and check out some shows. So this has been an abbreviated version of the plugs. I promise to collect a more better, is that a word? A more better list for next week. So thanks for listening, you guys. We got the Purple Lagoon in the background. Hoping that you like that. My name's Terry. Get back to TagCastPodcast.com and listen to our Terry and Gatch comedy show. And I'll talk to you later.